Well, welcome. I'm excited about the message today, and I know we're in a different location, but there's a reason for that. And the reason that we're out here, kind of in the middle of nowhere, on a road, is that I want you to know that life is a journey. So often, we think that life is a series just of important or devastating moments. But in reality, God's called us on a journey. You know, as I went to Israel for the first time, the thing that struck me the most wasn't the amazing ruins that you get to see or to walk on the streets where we know Jesus walked. That was all amazing and cool. But what really struck me, the biggest takeaway I had, was realizing that it was 70 miles from Galilee to Jerusalem. And Jesus made that walk over and over and over. He was walking hundreds of miles in a year. And I thought to myself, wow, as we read the Bible and we read the Gospels, we recognize that we're getting the highlights. Most of the time, Jesus was walking. And there's something in that for us that I think can be really refreshing and healthy, knowing that life is a journey. And there are always those highlight moments, and they will mark and make our life. But it's really the day-to-day walk that makes all the difference and makes a way for those moments. It's the road of life. So that's what I want to talk to you about today. In fact, out of Luke 24, we see a really cool story. It involves Jesus, and it involves two of his followers. We don't know their names. We don't know who they are. We just know that they were Jesus's followers. And they're on a journey, a short one, from Jerusalem to Emmaus. Emmaus is a little village that's 7 miles north of Jerusalem. And they're walking along the road, and they're talking about the events of the last few days. So we're going to pick that up at Luke 24. Here we go. It says, that same day, two of Jesus's followers were walking to the village of Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem. As they walked along, they were talking about everything that had just happened. What had just happened is the city had been in an uproar because Jesus was arrested. He went before basically a kangaroo court in a mock trial, was found guilty, crucified, and then he was resurrected from the dead. But not quite yet. Nobody had seen him yet. Here's what's really cool. It says, as they talked and discussed these things, Jesus himself suddenly came and began walking with them. But God kept them from recognizing them. So, here's what's cool, is that as we walk down the road of life, here's what we find. A lot of times we have trouble recognizing that God's with us, seeing that Jesus really is indeed with us. We're walking down the road and we're like, Lord, where are you? One of my life verses is Isaiah 50, verse 4. It says, you'll hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. And that's so comforting to me because a lot of times it seems like I'm facing the future. I'm facing that road alone. But I got to know that he's with me. The road of life. Here's what I want you to get. Here's the first thing. I want you to know that life is a journey. And here it is. You ready? It's the first main point. Jesus knows where we're headed, and he's with us. Jesus knows where we're headed, and he's with us. See, they didn't recognize Jesus, but he showed up alongside of him. They didn't realize that they were walking with the man that they called Messiah. They just thought it was some dude walking along with them. And so Jesus is walking with them, and he asked them, what are you discussing so intently as you walk along? They stopped short. In other words, they did what I just did. They stopped walking because Jesus spoke to them. They stopped short, sadness written across their faces. Why? Because the journey they were on was one that was hard and difficult because they felt like they no longer had anyone with them who was truly going to be a Messiah and a Savior in their life because that's who they thought Jesus was. But then he was crucified and buried. They stopped short. Then one of them, Cleopas, replied, "You must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about all the things that have happened in the last few days." "What things?" Jesus asked. Jesus doesn't ask questions he doesn't know the answer to. He knew what things, but he wanted them to share their heart. Let me just tell you that Jesus knows where you're headed, but he's trying to get to your heart. He wants you to walk the path that he has for you. But remember, they're walking without Jesus. Jesus, in their mind, he's gone. He's done. And they're discussing very intently everything that had happened around his arrest and his trial and his crucifixion and his death. And Jesus is saying, what things? Because he always puts his finger on our heart. Jesus knows where we're headed. Here's the other thing. Jesus has something to say. And then Jesus, they begin to explain everything that happened and how the prophets prophesied. And they thought that Jesus was not just a prophet, but was going to be Messiah. And then in verse 25, we see the next point. Here it is. You ready? Jesus has something to say. Now remember, he's just asked questions up to this point. What are you discussing as you're walking along? I see you're going somewhere. Jesus knows where we're headed. And he's always going to ask questions like, what's going on? Like, what are you discussing? What's going on inside of you? What things are bothering you? They tell him. And here's the second point. Jesus always has something to say. It's not always what we think. They didn't recognize that it was Jesus that was already walking with them. And here's Jesus' words to them as they're saying, man, we thought he was the Messiah. And he says this, "You foolish people, you find it so hard to believe that all the prophets wrote in the scriptures. Wasn't it clearly predicted that the Messiah would have to suffer all these things before entering his glory?" Then Jesus took them through the writings of Moses and all the prophets, explaining all this from all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. Jesus has something to say to us. And a lot of times he'll point out to us the error of our ways. Now, these are men who had followed Jesus, but they didn't recognize him because they were so tormented by the circumstances that they had just walked through in Jerusalem. And now they're leaving the place where they had been in Jerusalem, walking to Emmaus, and this guy comes up. They don't know that it's Jesus. And he has some things to say. He knows where they're going. He's going with them. And he has some things to say. He says, don't be foolish about what the future holds. Don't be foolish about what the pain that you're walking through in the present. Listen to me. Jesus still speaks that today if we're walking with him. And let me just tell you, you get to decide that. Jesus is with you. He is right there. Maybe you feel like he's a million miles away, but I'm here to tell you he's not. And he has something to say to you. And if you dive into his word and if you trust him and you say, Lord, this is what I'm dealing with. If you're honest, guess what? He's going to speak to you. And he explains to them, hey, yeah, this seems really bad. And I know you think it was unexpected, but it was part of my plan. I remember they stopped short and he says, what things? They explain it. And then Jesus explains all of that to them, which is, all of this stuff had to happen for my purpose to take place. Another one of my life verses, Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to those who love God and are called to his purpose. And when you're called to his purpose, over the course of time, maybe not in the middle of the pain, but over the course of time, Jesus will speak to you about the purpose and the plan that he has for you. And here's the last thing. I know this isn't a long message, but isn't brevity a virtue? The journey with Jesus changes everything. It changes everything. And they turn, they head stop short, and they start walking again. And they're walking with Jesus, and he's continuing to explain everything that happened and to talk to them about who he is and why things had to happen the way they had to happen. It was on the journey. There was a momentary pause as he reveal, like, they didn't even know who he was at that point, but he revealed truth to them about who he was, even though they hadn't had the revelation that it was Jesus already walking with them. And it says this, by the time they were nearing Emmaus and the end of the journey, Jesus acted as if he were going on. That's really interesting to me. Jesus acted. Yeah, maybe I'll go on. I don't know how that happened, but they thought that Jesus, even though they didn't know who it was, he'd been a voice of explanation and reason. He acted as he was going on, but they begged him, stay the night with us since it's getting late. So he went home with them. As they sat down to eat, he took the bread and he blessed it. Then he broke it and he gave it to them. Okay, I'm going to stop. They invited him in for a meal. And he came in and he took the bread and he broke it and he blessed it. It's a picture of the Last Supper. It's a picture of him showing them his body was broken for them. He took it, he blessed it, he gave it to them. Verse 31, suddenly their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And at that moment, he disappeared. Man, the journey with Jesus opens our eyes to the truth of who he is and the path he has for us. But the moment that they recognized that they'd been walking with Jesus, he disappears. Like, why? Jesus, like, why is that? I wish I had a great answer for that, but I just don't. But I do know this, that we live, the Bible says, from glory to glory. And those moments where God shows up and changes our world, opens our eyes, lights a fire inside of us, those are moments, but we get from moment to moment, from glory to glory, because of this. Because we're willing to walk the journey. Because we're willing to trust that his way is the best way. And my prayer for you is that you don't hate the journey because you've had some moments and some seasons that are difficult and hard. So many people just want to sit down in the middle of the road or just completely check out. Don't do that. Jesus is with you. You have to be willing to hear his voice and to know that as you seek him, you'll find him. Yeah, I can't see Jesus. All I've got is, and you start naming the people around you. Let me tell you, he is with you. You have to know that. And when he speaks, it's not always going to be comfortable. The first thing he says, like, oh, what things are, you know, where are you headed? Like, what's going on? What are you talking about so intently? And they tell him, and he's like, I can't believe you haven't heard about all this stuff. And he's like, what stuff? And they begin to explain everything. And his response is, don't be foolish. What is it? 1 Corinthians 16:33, where it says, don't be foolish, but understand of the will, what the will of the Lord is. And here's the will of the Lord for you. Keep walking. Keep going. Put one foot in front of the other. As you do that, first putting God before you and saying, Lord, I'm serving you. He'll show you the way. It's a great story. This is what they said afterwards, after Jesus disappears. Didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road and explained the scriptures to us? And within the hour, they were on their way back to Jerusalem. It's at the end of the story, you realize there was no real point in the way that they had been going. None, there was no point. They realized that they had a purpose that was bigger than what they thought. And they were reminded of the call of Jesus in their life. And they went back to Jerusalem. Why? To tell people they had seen Jesus. That's our purpose. That's our call. To go the direction that God's called us to go. To go back to those that may be confused and don't understand. God's got a plan through the pain. God's got a path for you to walk. So walk it. I love this. It's beautiful. I love it. There's something about looking at the creation all around us that reminds us of our Creator. But when all you see are man-made things, it's easy to walk man's path instead of God's. So here's my charge to you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your understanding. In everything you do, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. Maybe you've been on the wrong path. Maybe you've been walking the wrong way. Maybe you felt like Jesus a million miles away. I'm here to tell you that He's right next to you, and He's waiting for you to heed His voice and turn to the path that He has for you. I'm going to pray for you. If that's you, I want to pray for you. And just pray with you. Say, that is me. I've been on the wrong path. I've been bitter and angry. I've been focused on the pain of the past and the problems that I've had to walk through and what I see coming. Jesus has a path for you to walk. So just pray with me if that's you. Say, dear Jesus, now I know. I feel like you've revealed yourself to me, and I am choosing your path and your way. Forgive me for my path, my way, and my sin. I'm following you. I believe you died on that cross for me. I make you Lord of my life, and I'm walking your way. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, if that was you, let us know what's going on. I want to connect you with relationships and resources that can help you grow in your walk with God so that you can stay on the path and you don't walk alone. You walk with Jesus and other people. Hope you enjoyed today. It's great being with you. God bless. See you soon.